I'd like to read the scripture text for Randy's message this morning, which is from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them, and this is in the house of Cornelius. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach the gospel, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Randy, come, and God be with you.
There's a wonderful quote from Stanley Hauerwas. He's a theologian, retired from Duke Divinity. Ethicist, and if you know anything about Stanley Hauerwas, he kind of has a bit of a potty mouth. And he uses this to kind of surprise people, to wake them up a little. They don't see it coming. So he has this great quote. I'll give you the PG version. Jesus is Lord, and everything else is BS. Except he says, in front of everyone. He's making a point. Too much of Christianity, especially liberal Christianity, has become good values driven. We love peace and social justice work, and we love being the light in the community. But it's completely lost the mysterious Christ working through the people. And so Hauerwas is a prophet calling out to the church, don't forget first. Jesus is Lord, and everything else is BS. I love that quote. It got me pumped up in seminary. This week I had a lot of emotions, thinking about everything going on in the world. The escalating conflict with Iran, the earthquakes in Puerto Rico, the political polarization rocking our country with the impeachment trial. And on top of all that, my own emotions in the midst of announcing the upcoming transition. It's been a week full of a lot. And so this text this morning just kind of was beautiful to fit in. This is the lectionary text that is being read and preached around all the world this morning. All of those things that I was feeling as I was preparing for this sermon. Jesus is Lord of all of it. Thanks be to God. What hit me was that Jesus is Lord of all when this was written in 90 AD. The church, the early church that Acts tells us about. Jesus was Lord then, and almost 2,000 years later, Jesus is still Lord of all. And it just hit me in a profound way. With everything going on right now, to be reminded of that this morning, myself being the first one, with a word of hope, a word of grounding us, a word of saying, don't forget who your Lord is, and let that shape how you move forward this week. So I invite us to consider who is your Lord in three different contexts. The first one being political polarization. Who is your Lord? The second one being the conflict and our call to be peacemakers with the conflict with Iran. Who is your Lord? And the third one being in what was shared this morning in our Sunday school hour and in the upcoming transition here. Who is our Lord? So first, who is our Lord in the midst of political polarization right now? Believe it or not, this applies to the church in Acts, this question. In the decades after Jesus' death, the Apostle Paul wrote many letters that are now a part of the New Testament. Paul was a Roman citizen and sent these letters to small communities of Christians living throughout the Roman Empire. The letters show us how Paul and the early church were figuring out what it meant to be followers of Jesus, the crucified Christ, as Roman citizens. And they wrestled with that in the letters. We see it coming out. Issues related to allegiance, to taxes, to military, citizenship. What did it mean to be a part of a nation state with boundaries? And so the same issues that are wrestled with in Acts, we're wrestling with today, right now. Our Bishop Rodney and Bishop Joe sent a letter to the credentialed pastors trying to just ground us in this time of uncertainty with remembering who you are. I think I'm going to send it out this week for all of you to be able to read it. I just want to read a segment of what Rodney wrote. So this is quotes from Rodney. "We have become a divided nation in a divided world. Political allegiance fosters seeing oneself over against those with whom they disagree. When we say Jesus is Lord, what are we saying Jesus is Lord of? To be in Christ is to belong to a new creation. God's kingdom doesn't take sides in the political divides of this world. Neither is God's kingdom aloof from the suffering and turmoil of this world." What Rodney is saying here, I believe, is prophetic for us this morning. We need to be reminded and aware again of the narrative that creeps behind us as U.S. citizens in a divided political world. That has the power to shape us. It will form us if we're not careful. I believe that that spirit of polarization can so easily creep into our own hearts in the church. And so we need to be reminded again and again and again every Sunday morning here, Jesus is Lord. How does that shape us moving forward? We are called to belong to a new creation. Now that doesn't mean don't be involved in politics or don't go vote or don't even, you know, engage in the media. Trust and pray about how to do that well. But I think what I've been reminded of as I was preparing this sermon is it's not saying don't do that, but rather first remind myself that Jesus is Lord and ground myself in that first and then maybe engage. It looks like maybe just taking a pause, kind of like the pause that we took to light the peace lamp this morning. It's just a pause to stop and listen in the midst of all the noise, to come back to being grounded in the narrative of God's story first. It's a pause to maybe think more rationally, to allow the blood to flow out of the brain, which is not thinking rationally because there's so many emotions and we get so fired up. The pause allows just everything to settle and to come back to the narrative that Jesus is Lord first. Verse 36, "You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." Take a pause to let that soak in. And now, prayerfully consider how you involve in politics in our nation. Secondly, Jesus is Lord of all as being people of peace. I appreciate, Janet, the way you opened us this morning by reading a word from MCC on the conflict in Iran. I think when I read the news of another military conflict potentially brewing, it's really easy to get overwhelmed, to get bogged down, to stay quiet because I don't know what to say or what to do. And as I was thinking about this morning, it just became very evident to me as a pastor that it was not a time to be quiet about this. We are a part of the historic Anabaptist Mennonite peace movement of 500 years. Just take that in for a moment. That's incredible. This is a movement within the Reformation that one of its core values of following Jesus was to be a people of peace. This is a living tradition right here, and we're witnesses to that. And so it's not a time to be quiet about how we respond to these conflicts as the church where Jesus is Lord. Verse 39 says, as witnesses of the Christ to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. The fact that we follow a crucified and risen Christ who nonviolently went to the cross could have easily used violence in that situation on the cross to defend. Certainly had the power to do it. He didn't. The nonviolent Christ going to the cross, the crucified Christ who rose again in new life. We are shaped by that narrative this morning. It's a Jesus who tells us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse you, to do good to those who hate you, and to pray for those who mistreat and persecute you. Talk about words that are upside down in 2020 living in America. We are witnesses to that Jesus. To make that Jesus Lord of all. It's not about effectiveness, but first about faithfulness to the crucified and risen Christ. I think, especially this morning, within the Anabaptist movement, the priesthood of all believers is also very significant. This is not just the pastor saying, be people of peace, but it's all of you saying together, how are you people of peace? I loved last week's getting the Menno snapshot of different people, and we had Don Rank. I loved reading about you, Don. And you had in there, you're a peacemaker. And I think we could have said that for so many of you here. You guys are peacemakers in the context that you're in. And so encourage one another. And our particular mission statement, figuring out together, is significant here, I think, in times of conflict and when anxiety is high. Embrace the community, one another here, in figuring out how to be people of peace right now, because it's really hard. And so listen to stories from one another around the kitchen table while you're drinking coffee or while you're with a junior youth event. Or as you're at a sister care group. Talk about what it's like to be an American citizen and to be a follower of Jesus, and it's hard. How are you doing it? Help me to learn. Here's one thing that I did. One place where I was encouraged this past year was that 13 Anabaptist churches in the USA signed a letter to the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service. The letter requested that men and women not be universally obligated to military service, And this was written and signed by 13 different groups within the Anabaptist movement, including Beachy Amish, Brethren Church, Brethren in Christ U.S., the Bruderhof, Church of the Brethren, Conservative Mennonite Conference, LMC, Lancaster Mennonite Conference, Mennonite Church USA, Mennonite Central Committee, Old Order Amish, and Old Order Mennonites. Incredible place of coming together and saying, we agree on this, to be people of Christ's peace. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And I just want to share one more example of how I see this happening, of being people of Christ's peace. And it's a short video, Todd, if you could pull that up. It comes from Mennonite Central Committee, and it kind of gives a different angle on being people of peace. But I think it's such a powerful, powerful witness. Just as they were witnesses in Acts to Christ, I think this short clip here is such a powerful witness to being people of peace and to sitting with those who've experienced violence and to continue to be reminded of the peace of Christ in that. So just take a quick look at this video.
My son, we called him BJ. His name is Fontaine, but we called him BJ. He's my only child. I haven't got used to saying was yet, so I still say he is. And in all the years I've been in church, I always felt like if something like that would happen, I would feel something, because I heard people say, it just didn't feel right that day. I felt none of that, none of it. And once I did go in the hospital and see my baby, his head was wrapped up and he wasn't woke. And I asked him, I said, is he alert? Can he hear me? They like, just talk to him. And then that's when the panic began, because they didn't say he was woke. They didn't say he was alert. And I was rubbing his hand and I was touching his face, and they was like, try not to move his head. And I'm like, you know, what? My baby, he needs to get up. You know, we got a life to live. He's ready to take his first plane ride, you know, just so much. As the detectives told me when they came to the hospital, he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think about that. It was a park. How could a kid be in the wrong place at the park? He wasn't in the wrong place. The shooter was in the wrong place. I want to be bitter. I want to be angry. I want to be mad. I don't want to be supportive. I was supportive my whole life. And being supportive, I still lost my son. Being positive, I still lost my son. Being encouraging, I still lost my son. He's gone now. I shouldn't have to continue to be those things, because it didn't get me anywhere. But God just will not let me be that. So when I get with those other moms, we encourage each other. We share with each other what we do. And it helps. It makes a big difference. Being with Parents for Peace and Justice, like, nothing you do really takes the grieving away or the pain away, but being with them is helpful. It's really helpful, because they do so much. They do so much, from the counseling, from the therapy to the activities. It's nothing like talking to somebody that really know what you're feeling, because sometimes you don't know what you're feeling. You know, you could just explain, like, it hurt, it hurt, it hurt. And they know what it hurt, it means. Some people I say that to, and they be like, I know you don't know. You go home to your kids, so stop telling me you know. But when I say it to them, I know they know. So when they hug me, they hug feel different. When they tell me it's gonna be okay, it feels different. Grieving is not something you should do alone, and Parents for Peace and Justice make it easy.
I see all of you joining in the work of being peacemakers here at Whitmer Heights. You pray for peace. We light, or our candle for peace has gone out. When someone is grieving, you sit with them. You're teaching your children to love others. I loved our junior youth. Building up instead of tearing down, being peacemakers. You've been the street mom on the streets in Cabbage Hill, being a person of peace in the neighborhood. You've called your senators asking to reduce the military spending and increase aid to the vulnerable. You're Don Rank, a peacemaker. You say hello to strangers, being extra kind to people. You sit with people while they grieve. Jesus is Lord. We are called to be people of peace. And finally, in the midst of this whole week, my own emotions, as Emily and I are processing what was shared. And this, Jesus is Lord, was just powerful for me as I was writing this sermon to give that to God too. Jesus is Lord of a transition. There was a few words of encouragement that were sent to me this week. One of them said, whenever they did various transitions in life, they felt called to make career changes, not because they were running from something, but because there was a new opportunity that they were feeling called to. That was really helpful to hear. And another word of encouragement came from someone that just said, be still and know that I am God. That is helpful just to hear Jesus is Lord, to give that to the Lord through this time. I've been encouraged to be invited to not have a spirit of fear or unknown or even to be caught up in all the questions, but to be first grounded in this word, Jesus is Lord of a transition. And I loved what we talked about last week. Jerry Keener, he used the Genesis text. We talked about it in Sunday school, but I just want to say it again. It was Abraham and Sarah being called by God to go, to leave the unknown. And then it was finished, though. It wasn't just go. There was more. It was go, and I will show you the way. So this morning, whether it's political polarization, whether it's the conflict in Iran, whether it's whatever is going on in your personal lives that is hard, for me, this transition, Jesus is Lord. Amen? You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, the people of Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Amen.